Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Nuntes, and we will begin on Daf Nuntes Amud Aleph, the seventh line, with the words V'sav Rab Yosi Haglili. As the Gemara in the previous blat had taught us, there's a machlokes between Rab Yosi Haglili and Rab Akiva exactly what the order, what was the sequence of the four corners on which the Kohen Gadol put the blood of the par and sire that were combined on the four corners, and what sequence was followed. According to Reb Akiva, he began with the Mizrachis Deroimis, then he went to Deroimis Maravis, then he went to Maravis Tzfoinis, and then he went to Tzfoinis Mizrachis. Rabbi Yosi Haglili learned, he started at Mizrachis Tzfoinis, and from there he went to Tzfoinis Maravis, Maravis Deroimis, and Deroimis Mizrachis. And the Gemara had attempted to explain in a number of different ways what was the basis of the Machloikis between Rabbi Yosi Haglili and Rabbi Akiva. And the last explanation, actually was the third explanation that the Gemara had given, that everybody agreed that the Kohen Gadol didn't actually walk around, but the Hakula Alma Akof B'Yad, everybody agreed it was just the Kohen Gadol's hand that went around the Mizbeach. And the Machloikis was, do we learn Hakofa, do we learn Yad Miregel? Do we learn the way we move the hand around the Mizbeach from the way the Kohen Gadol would walk around the Mizbeach or not? Ask the Gemara, is that an acceptable way of explaining the Machloikis of Rabbi Yosi Haglili and Rabbi Akiva? V'sav Rabbi Yosi Haglili Hakofa B'Yad, can one explain that Rabbi Yosi Haglili holds that the Kohen Gadol only walked around, didn't walk around, but just put his hands around the Mizbeach? For Midik Tani, Sefer, since we learned at the end of our Mishnah, that the Kohen Gadol remained standing in one place when he put the blood on the corners, Michlal, the Tanakama, that the Tanakama, and as Rashi explains, that the Tanakama of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yosi Haglili, because the order the Tanakama of our Mishnah follows in the way the blood was put around the Mizbeach is the way Rabbi Yosi Haglili said it was put. Obviously, the Tanakama Rabbi Yosi Haglili loisirle does not hold that the Kohen Gadol just stood in his place and with his hand went around the Mizbeach. So how could we attribute and explain Rabbi Yosi Haglili in such a way? Al machvarta, it must be that the earlier explanation that we gave in the machloikis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosi Haglili, machvarta kadoshinim mekar, that is the correct explanation. Mar sova, Rabbi Akiva holds that the Kohen Gadol went around by hand. That's how he put the blood. Masava Hakof Barogel, and the other man, the Amma, holds that he put it by, he actually walked around. That's the way Rabbi Yosi Haglili holds. It's interesting that the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer points out that now that the Gemara is saying that there are two separate types of going around, one is by foot, that was done on the Mizbeach Achitzin, and according to Rabbi Kivi, even the Mizbeach Apnimi, and the other one is by, and like Rabbi Yosi Haglili, and the other way is to by hand. And when you go by hand, there is no necessary, it's not necessary to actually favor always making a right turn. So Chasam Sofer says, if so, by mitzvahs that are done by hand, not by walking, is there a specific point to go to the right side? For example, when one does mitzvahs netilas lulav, is there a specific issue that one should wave the lulav to the right side first? Bibay Seima, and the way the Gra explains this is not, Bibay Seima usually means it's a new explanation. Says the Gra, this is not really a new explanation. Here the Bibay Seima is just explaining the machlokes that we just explained, if the Kohen Gadol actually walked around the Mizbeach HaPnimi or just stood in one place and put his hands, b'hokam mifki, what is the basis for the machlokes? Ma sova, sova of the Mizbeach HaPnimi, k'sova of the Mizbeach HaChitzen. The Torah uses the word soviv regarding the Mizbeach HaPnimi as it does regarding the Mizbeach HaChitzen. And by the Mizbeach HaChitzen, certainly the halacha is that they walked around. So Rabbi Yosef Glili says, since the Torah uses the same terminology, it must be that they walked around here too. Masova, and Rabbi Kiva holds, Kul Mizbeach Pnimi, the entire Mizbeach Pnimi, the entire surface of the Mizbeach Pnimi, the Mokum Chode Karen, the Mizbeach Chitzen Koi, is took up the same amount of place as just one corner of the Mizbeach HaChitzen. Now when the Kohen Gadol in the Mizbeach HaChitzen was working with what corner? He didn't walk around, he was working with that corner. Given, says Rabbi Akiva, that the entire Mizbeach HaPnimi was the same size as the one corner of the Mizbeach HaChitzen, therefore the Kohen Gadol could stand in one place by the Mizbeach HaPnimi and just move his hand around the Mizbeach and accomplish putting dam on each one of the four corners. And the Mashiach Chachma makes an interesting observation. He says, when the Torah speaks about the corners of the Mizbeach HaChitzen, the Torah says, V'lokach ha-koyim midoma be'etzba v'noson al karnois mizbach ha'oyla. There the word karnois are spelled chaser, without a vav. On the other hand, when the Torah speaks about the putting dam on Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Torah says, "V'nosan akoyim minadam al karnois mizbach toiris hasamim," and there the word karnois is spelled mole with a vav. Perhaps what the Torah is teaching us, the karnois of the Mizbeach HaChitzen are chaser. Each corner is only one small part, and you have to go to each corner separately. On the other hand, the karnois of the Mizbeach HaPnimi are whole corners, and by standing by one corner, one can put the dam around all four other corners and doesn't have to actually walk to those corners. Tanya says a brice, Amr Bishmal Shnei Kohanim Gedolim Nishtar B'Migdash Rishon. There were two Kohanim Gedolim that remained alive from the first Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbeinu Chananel explains, how could two Kohanim Gedolim be alive at the same time? Usually it's only when a Kohen Gadol passes away that a new Kohen Gadol is appointed. So Rabbeinu Chananel says what must have happened was that the first Kohen Gadol became Tamei, and if he became Tamei he could not do the Avoida, so they appointed a second Kohen Gadol. Ze'oimer biyodi hikafti, once said that when I put the blood on the corners of the Mizbeach with my hand, I stood in one place and my hand went around the Mizbeach. V'zayim b'ragli ha-kafti, and the other one said I actually walked around in the Mizbeach. Zeh noisen tam l'dvarav, each one gave a reason for what he said. V'zeh noisen tam l'dvarav. Zeh noisen tam l'dvarav, the one that said that he actually walked around, like Rabbi Yosef Glili held, sovav the Mizbeach pnimi, k'sovav the Mizbeach achitzen. Torah uses the same word, just like by the Mizbeach HaChitzen, he actually walks around, so too by the Mizbeach HaPnimi. For Zenos and Talmud Dvarov, like we explained, Kule Mizbeach HaPnimi, the entire area of the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Mokum Chod Karen, the Chitzen Koyu, takes up the same amount of room as the entire, as one corner of the Mizbeach HaChitzen, and just like by one corner of Mizbeach HaChitzen, he didn't walk around, so too there was no need for the Kohen Gadol to walk around the entire Mizbeach HaPnimi. The Tosfos Yeshonim and Ritva asks that the Gemara says in Masechet Sanhedrin, "Bin Mois Moshe, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, at Shemais Yosef ben Yosef, until Yosef ben Yosef passed away, lahoisa machlokes b'Yisrael. There was never machlokes in Klal Yisrael. Everybody agreed what the halacha was. And here we see that already in the time of the Beis Hamikdash Rishon there was machlokes. So the Ritva answers." There really was no machlokes. What the Gemara was telling us is that both ways are acceptable. Since there's legitimate basis for both reasoning, that's why it's not considered a machlokes, and that's why the Kohanim said sometimes we did it this way, some Kohanim acted in one way, and some Kohanim Gedolim acted in another way. The Tosfos Yeshonim answers that A machloikis means that we have two opinions, and both sides sit down in the Beis Medrash and try to convince each other that their opinion is correct. And after going through that exercise, they still remain with their opinions. That's called a machloikis. However, says the Tosfos Yeshanim, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, such a practice wasn't followed, that when people had different opinions, they sat down to try to work it out and see if one side was right and the other side wasn't. Each one kept to his own position. That's not called a machloikis. A machloikis is only after both opinions try to understand the other opinion and still remain with their opinion. So the Mishnah continued saying, Rabbi Elazar said, the Kohen Gadol stood in his place, in one place when he put the blood on each corner. And Rabbi Elazar in the Mishnah said that when the Kohen Gadol did put the blood, said Rabbi Elazar, Al Kulan Hayunais saying, Mimata Lamamala, on all corners he put the blood on from the bottom up. Just the corner that he was standing in front of, he put from the bottom, from the top bottom. Says the Gemara, Masni Samani, who is our Mishnah like? For as the Gemara will now teach us, there's a Braisa, a Machloikis Ramein Rabbi Yehuda, exactly what Rabbi Elazar said. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, it's according to Rabbi Yehuda's version of what Rabbi Elazar held. The Tanya, Ramei Oimer, Ramei says, Rabbi Elazar Oimer, the Mekoima Oimer Mechate. On the place where he stood, he stood in one place and did the blood. Vakulan Hayunaisen, on all the corners, he would put Memala Lamata, he would put from top to bottom, Chutz Ma'isa Shemalachsen, except for the corner that was diagonally across from him. On that one, Naisen Memata Memala, he put from the bottom to top. Rabbi Huda, on the other hand, holds. Rabbi Elazar Oimer Mekoyim Oimer Mechate. He was standing in his place when he put the blood. Vakulan Hanoisin Mamata Mamala. Like it said in our Mishnah, that on all the three corners he would put from bottom to top the blood. Chutz Mizeh Shoyis Lefon Mamash, except the one that was in front of him. Shanoisin Mamala Lamata. That he would put from the top to the bottom. In order that his clothing shouldn't get dirty, because if he's applying blood right in front of him, if he's going to put the blood from bottom to top, the blood will roll down the sleeve, which will make the Big Day Kahuna dirty. And we know that halacha is that the Big Day Kahuna must be worn l'chavayd u'l'sfores, and therefore they can't get dirty. So as we understand the machloikas of Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Elazar, everybody agrees that in the corner that he was standing by, he put the blood from Mala Lamata. Also, everybody agrees that in the corner that was diagonally across from him, he would put the blood from Mimata Lamala from the bottom to the top. Because since the corner, it was a far away corner, it would be difficult, it's much easier to put the blood Mimata Lamala. The Machloikis is regarding the two other corners. And what is the basis of that? So Rashi explains. Ramea holds that since in the corner that he was standing by, he put Mimala Lamata, the other two corners, he also followed the same approach, putting Mimala Lamata. It's only the corner that is further in the diagonal from him, where it's easier to put Mimata Lamala, that corner he did Mimata Lamala. Everything else he did Mimala Lamata. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds just the opposite. He holds the corner in front of him, we're putting it Mimala Lamata is a difficulty because it will make his clothing dirty. So that corner, and only that corner, did he do Mimala Lamata. All the other corners where that concern isn't there, he did Mimata. He did Mimala Lamata. The Chazon Ish makes an interesting observation in learning this Gemara. The Chazon Ish says that usually when we find a machloikis, such as the machloikis that our Gemara is talking about, we have a pasuk, and there's a machloikis how to understand the psukim. Sometimes I'm understanding it one way, other and I'm understanding it another way. Here there's no machloikis in psukim. It's a simple machloikis how to understand what happened. So, says the Chazon Ish, what is the limud? The lesson of the Gemara, says the Chazon Ish, is that everything that's done is prescribed by the halacha. There's nothing done just haphazardly. The halacha tells us what to do. And one can't just say, since the pasuk doesn't tell us what to do, I can do whatever I want. No. Chazal have to tell us exactly how to apply the blood, and it's not just something we could say we could do whatever we want. Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, based on this Gemara, speaks about the issue that we learned here, the Leinitzin Mane, that Chazal were concerned that the Kohen Gadol's clothing should not become dirty, and that's why on the corner he was standing by, he put the blood, certainly he put the blood Mimala Lamata. So he speaks about a shaila, if there's someone who's unfortunately not well, and when he makes kiddush, and the halach is when one makes kiddush he has to hold the cup. This person, when he holds the cup, he shakes and he makes his clothing dirty. Should he hold his cup in such, should he hold a cup of wine in such a way? Or maybe, as we say by the kiddush, that Shabbos is Mekroi Kodesh, Shabbos is a yontif, and in yontif one is supposed to be dressed in a befitting manner. Getting one's clothing dirty is certainly not befitting. And Itaka says, therefore, lahaloch lamaisa, that if somebody, unfortunately, will get his clothing dirty if he holds the kiddush cup up, he should not hold it, he should just keep it on the table and just put his hands around the cup. And he says, furthermore, even though he says the Mishnah Berurah says that to make kiddush, one needs a revius of wine. Let's say someone only has a cup at home which is larger than a revius, but he only has a revius of wine. So the halach is, he should take that cup, fill it up with the revius of wine that he has, even though it won't be full to the top, and even though certainly l'chatchila one should fill the cup of wine till the top, here there's no choice, he should fill the cup up with as much wine that he has, as long as he has a revius. So ask Rav Zilberstein, with this person who has a problem holding a cup without spilling wine, what is preferable? Is it preferable that he should fill the cup till the top and just not lift it, put his hands around it, but leave it on the table? Or is it preferable that if he has a large cup, he should not fill it to the top, fill it up with a revius, and then he'll be able to lift it? So he says, la'loch la'maisa, it's better to fill the cup to the top and just not lift it, versus not filling it to the top and lifting it. Continues the Gemara. We learned, as the Kohen Gadol finished putting the blood on the corners of Mizbeach, he put blood, he's a memenu al taharish shel Mizbeach, he put blood on the taharish shel Mizbeach 7 times. Ask the Gemara, ma taharoi? Tahar means purity. What does the purity of Mizbeach mean? Omer Rabbi Rav Sheila, palgin Mizbeach. So Gemara learns taharoi means the midpoint on the side of the wall of the Mizbeach, right in the middle of the Mizbeach. Kedami inchi, as people say, taharoi, taharoi. The middle of the day, by Chatzos, was the midpoint of the day. It becomes bright. Here too, this is the midpoint. But have a palg of the yom, but that's when it's Chatzos, midday. Meisvei asked the Gemara, is that what Taharoi Shel Mizbeach can mean? It says in the Braisa, Kshumazah, when the Kohen Gadol sprinkled the dam on the Mizbeach, Einemazah, Loyal Gabi Eifer. He doesn't sprinkle on ash. For Loyal Gabi Gecholim, not on the coals. El Choyte Gecholim, Eilev Eilech. He should push the coals to the side, Umaza, and like that sprinkle. So we see that the sprinkling is done with his coals. There are no coals, no ash on the wall, on the side of the Mizbeach. Al Amar Rabbi Sheila, what does Al Taharim Shel Mizbeach mean? Al Gluya Mizbeach. On the top, on the exposed top of the Mizbeach, Kriksiv, like the pasuk says, "Etzem Shemaim L'Toyer." When the sky is open, it's pure. Here, to the exposed, open part on top of the Mizbeach is where the Kohen Gadol put the dam when we say put it altar shom mizbeach. Tanya. So now the Gemara begins with a question: where the Kohen Gadol stood when he put the dam al tahara shom mizbeach? Chananya oimer b'tzad svayni who noisin. He puts it on the north side of the mizbeach. Rabbi Yosi oimer b'tzad roimi noisin. Rabbi Yosi says he puts it on the south side. But my kamiflgi, what is the machlokes? So the Gemara says that this machlokes really goes back to something that we discussed previously. Where was the opening to the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Where was the entrance, exit of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is where the Kohen Gadol walked out of as he approached the Mizbeach HaChitzin? Mar Sover, Chananya holds Pischa B'dorim Koi. The opening was on the south side. So, if the Kohen Gadol exited the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the south side, the first corner of the Mizbeach HaPnimi he would reach would be the southeast one. So he put the blood on that one. Then he would continue moving clockwise around the Mizbeach, and the last corner that he stood on would therefore be the northeast corner. And that's where he stood, and where he's standing is where he starts putting, now that he finished putting on the corners of the Mizbeach, that's where he stands now to put on the surface of the Mizbeach. Omar Sava, Rabbi Yossi on the other hand, Rabbi Yossi holds that Pitzcha B'tzofen Koi, the opening was on the north side, so when the Kohen Gadol left the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the first corner that he was at was at the northeast corner, and then by continuing putting the dam on the four corners, the last corner he was on was the southeast corner, and when he stood by the southeast corner, that's where he concluded putting the dam on the corners, that's where he was, and now he put the blood on the surface of the Mizbeach where he was standing from on the southeast corner. And the machloikis of the Rabbi Yosef Aglili and Chananya is really based on the machlokes of how many curtains there were. Rabbi Yosef Aglili, we know, is the mandama that holds there was only one curtain. If there was only one curtain, the exit entrance was all on the north side. On the other hand, Chananya holds like the Rabbanon, who holds there were two curtains, and therefore there were two entrances. The entrance exit that was closer to the Mizbeach was the south side, because as we learned, the Kohen Gadol would first enter the south entrance and then go to the north, and then when he left he would first go out from the north entrance and then from the north exit to the south exit. However, the Kula Amimiyos, everybody is in agreement that Heichad Megamer Matanis Dekranos, where the Kohen Gadol was standing where he finished putting the blood on the corners of Mizbeach, Hosam Yov Al Guagai. That's where he stands and puts on the surface. My Tama, what's the reason? Omakra v'taroi v'katshoi. The Pasuk says, Taroi v'katshoi Moshem Shekitshoi, and the place where he finished putting the dam on the corners of Mizbeach, Shom Taroi, that's where he should put the blood on the surface of Mizbeach. Mefarshim ask, why is there a need for a Pasuk to teach us that where the Kohen Gadol was standing, that's where he should stand when he puts the dam on the surface of the Mizbeach? Isn't it obvious? Don't we have a rule of Eim Avir al Mitzvahs? When there's a mitzvah to do, we should do it immediately and not go further. So Taisus on Daf Lamed Gimel says that Eim Avir al Mitzvahs is only applicable when I have two mitzvahs. I have two mitzvahs to do. I don't know which one to do. So Eim Avir al Mitzvahs tells me that the first mitzvah which I am able to do, that's the first mitzvah to do. However, here there's only one mitzvah at hand. So the rule of Eim Avir al Mitzvahs is not applicable. However, the Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan gives a different answer. He says, if the basis for this halacha would be Eim Avir al Mitzvahs, so yes, the corner where the Kohen Gadol is standing is the corner where he should stand when he does, where he should continue putting the dam on the surface of Tiharoi Shom Mizbeach. But what would be the halacha if the Kohen, instead of doing that, walked to another corner? If the reason for putting the blood on the surface of Mizbeach is because you should do it where you are. So now, albeit the Kohen Gadol did the wrong thing, he shouldn't have walked to another corner, but now that he's standing at another corner, he should put the blood from that corner. On the other hand, if the reason is because the Torah said v'tiaroi v'katshoi, that the place of putting the blood on the surface of the Mizbeach is the place where I completed putting the blood on the corners, so therefore the halacha will be that even if the Kohen Gadol walked away, he would have to come back to that corner. The Mishnah said, Shiari Hadam, the leftover blood that was not used after doing all of this avoida, Hayishayfech Hayisoid Merabi Shemizbech Achitzin. He would put on the west, he would pour on the western base of the Mizbech Achitzin. Dama Kra, as the Pasuk says, that's called Dama Yishbaich, you should pour out all the blood. Vikinofech, when he comes out, Bahu Pagabaresha, he meets that corner first. So, there's a machloikis harishonim if the Gemara has the words Bahu Pagabaresha or not. Some rishonim say that the Gemara has the words Bahu Pagabaresha. But then, the Gemara is teaching us, in fact, the Tosfos HaRosh learns this way, that the Gemara here is teaching us that the halacha of Ein Mavir Ma'al Mitzvos. How do we know that we have to do the mitzvah as soon as we can? Because here we see that we have to pour the blood on the west side. Why on the west side? Because that's the first side of the Mizbeach one encounters when he leaves the base Hamikdash, and that's why the blood should be poured there. Tosfos Lishitasai takes out the words Dahu Pagu Bereishah, because Tosfos says, as we just explained before, that this case is not a situation of Ein Mavir Ma'al Mitzvos, because Tosfos says Ein Mavir Ma'al Mitzvos is only relevant when there are two mitzvahs at hand. Here there's only one mitzvah at hand, and therefore there is no issue of Ein Mavir Ma'al Mitzvos. It's just a halacha that the Pasuk is teaching us that the blood should be poured on the west side. Continues the Mishnah in teaching us, when there was left over blood from Kabbonis, that the avoider, as most kabbonis, the avoider was in Mizbech Achitzin, those bloods were poured aside the Rimus on the south side. Tanur Rabban. The Torah says, regarding most kabbonis that were brought on the Mizbech Achitzin, the leftover blood should be poured on the side of Mizbech. But the Torah does not indicate which side does it mean. So the Braisa says, Zay aside the Rimus. It's the south side. Continues the Braisa, at the Omer Yisoid Deroimus, does it indeed mean the south side, or Ein El Yisoid Marovus? Perhaps it means the west side, and the basis would be, as we will soon see, that just like the blood of the leftover blood from the Mizbeach HaPnimi was poured on the west side, and that the Torah taught us with a pasuk, so it would say, since by the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Torah tells us that we should pour it on the west side. On the Mizbeach HaOyla left over blood, the Torah is ambiguous in telling us where to pour it. So it would say, learn the Mizbeach HaChitzin from the Mizbeach HaPnimi and pour the leftover blood from the Mizbeach HaChitzin also on the west side. Amrit, so the Braisa tells us not to learn that way. Because we compare when the Kohen Gadol comes down the ramp of the Mizbeach HaChitzin to as how he exits from the Kodesh, from the Beis HaMikdash to Mizbeach. Just like when the Kohen Gadol leaves the Beis HaMikdash, so he pours the leftover blood, the Samach Loi, on the first wall he encounters, which is the west side. Veza Zayusoid Meravi, the west side. After Yidos Minakevis, so to when he goes down from the ramp, which was on the south side of Mizbeach, Psamachloi, where he is, that's where he should pour the blood. Zayusoid Meravi, Veza, where is that Yusoid Meravi, the south side. Tanya, Rishmal Aimer, there's a Machloikis that says, Rishmal says, Zayusoid Meravi, both by the leftover blood from the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and the leftover blood from the Mizbeach HaChitzin, it was always poured on the west side. Rav Shimon Yochai, the leftover blood, both from Kabbonis from the Mizbeach HaPnimi and from Kabbonis from the Mizbeach HaChitzin, were poured on the south side. Bishlam Rabbi Shmuel, we can understand Rabbi Shmuel's position. the Mizbeach HaPnimi, leftover blood, certainly should be poured on the west side. As we said, it's a pasuk. It's called the Mishpoch Al Yisoid HaMizbeach, HaPnei HaMizbeach, by the opening. The Mechloikis is regarding the Mizbeach HaChitzin. So he says, since the Torah explicitly tells us by the Mizbeach HaPnimi to do it on the west side, and by the Mizbeach HaChitzin, the Torah doesn't tell us what exactly which side to pour it on. Kasava Yilmet Sosma Furish. We learn the case which is left ambiguous from the case which is explicit, and therefore both are poured on the west side. Eler of Shimon Yechoi Maitama. What's the basis for Shimon ben Yochai saying that even the blood from the leftover blood from the Mizbeach HaPnimi is poured on the south side? I can understand, says the Gemara, the blood from the Mizbeach HaChitzin, since that's the first side the Kohen encounters as he comes down on the ramp. But why the blood from the Mizbeach HaPnimi is poured on the south side? Answers the Gemara, Amar of Ashi, Kesavar, Rav Shimon ben Yochai holds Pischa B'darm Kai. He holds that the entire Mizbeach was to the north of the Azara. So therefore, it wasn't that when the Kohen Gadol left the Beis HaMikdash, he actually encountered the Mizbeach, because the Mizbeach was completely pulled up to the higher side of the north. So the first side that the Kohen Gadol encountered when he left the Beis HaMikdash was the south side. Tanan Beir Shmuel, we learned in the Yeshiva of Shmuel, with the Beir of Shimon ben Yochai, like they taught in the Yeshiva of Shimon ben Yochai, Zev Zeh Yisoy Deroimus. That means, ultimately, Rabbi Shmuel's Yeshiva agreed Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's position, that the dam, both of the leftover dam from the Mizbeach HaPnimi and the leftover dam from the Mizbeach HaChitzin, was always poured down the south side. B'smanach, if you want to have a way of remembering who gave in to whom, Meshach Gavri LeGavra. So the way Gavri means many people, convinced the one person. So the way Rashi explains, Gavri means the Talmidim, which were many students of Rabbi Shimon Yochai, were able to convince Gavra, one individual, Rabbi Shmuel. Tosfos takes a different position, because Tosfos says that Rabbi Shmuel himself never agreed to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Shmuel always remained with his position, and Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai remained with his position. It was the Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel's students, who agreed to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. What he says, Mashoch Gavri LeGavra, means Gavri means two many names. He says Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai is called with two names: his name, Rabbi Shimon, and his father's name, Yochai. Whereas Rabbi Shmuel is only called by one name, Yishmael. And as Tosfos explains, Rabbi Shmuel was nifter before Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai was nifter, and the Talmidim of Rabbi Shmuel, after their Rebbe passed away, came to learn in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. When they came to learn Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai's yeshiva, they ultimately accepted his psak that the dam, both of the Mizbeach HaPnimi and the Mizbeach HaChitzin, was poured on the Yisoid Rami. So the Mishnah continued saying that all the various bloods that were poured on the Yisoid would then get mixed up. Eilu ve'eilu mis'arvim ba'omo, they would get mixed up in the canal and flow out to the Nachal Kidron, to the Kidron Valley, and that's where it was sold to gardeners for fertilizer. And the Mishnah ended with the words that if a farmer, someone used this blood without paying for it, he transgressed the Avera of Mila. Mila b'Hegdash means that if somebody uses a Hegdash item that's not his. Tanarabon. Ma'al and Bedomim, there is Mila with blood of the Kabonis. Divir Amei Reb Shimon, which is ostensibly the sheet of our Mishnah. Behem, there is no Me'ilah with blood of Kabonis. Says the Gemara, At Kan Lo Pligi Elam D'Rabbonim. The Machloikis between the Chachamim and Rameir of Shimon, if there is Me'ilah on the blood of a carbon or not, is only if there's Me'ilah D'Rabbonim. av medaraisa, as far as mila medaraisa, everybody will agree, ein ma'al behem, there is no me'ila. And the difference between mila midaraisa and mila midarabonim, explained the Rishonim, is that if by mila midaraisa, one, besides having to have to pay back the hegdish, the value of what he used, he also asked to add a fifth. By mila midarabonim, he doesn't have to add a fifth. By mila midaraisa, besides paying the value and a fifth, he also has to bring a carbon osha me'ilis. By mila midarabonim, there is no carbon. And Tosfos proves from our Mishnah that everybody agrees that there is no mila midaraisa, because Tosfos says if these items were subject to, if blood was subject to mila midaraisa, how could they sell it? You can't sell something that there's mila midaraisa on. So Mefarshim asking, why not? Don't we find a concept throughout Kachim, we've discussed it ourselves many times, of pidyon, of redemption? So perhaps, even though it would be subject to mila midaraisa, it still could be redeemed, and by selling it to the farmers. So first, the Sefer Archam explains that pidyon is only possible by something that has only kedusha stamim, mandatory kedusha. Something that has in it kedusha saguf, it cannot be redeemed. If dam is so kadosh that it's subject to mila midaraisa, then it would have a kedusha saguf, and it would not be able to be sold. The fact that, says Archam's Pshat and Tosfos, the fact that we see that it could be sold to the farmers is a proof that it only has mila midrabanan, not mila midaraisa. Says the Gemara, not immediately, from where do we indeed know that blood from Kabonas is not subject to mila midaraisa? Ula says, Amakra. The Pasuk says, regarding the blood of the Kabonas, Vanina Sativ Lachem, Shalchem Yehei. It's yours, it doesn't belong to Hegdish. The Beir of Shimon Tana, Lechaper. The purpose of the blood is Lechapar Nasativ, it's here to make a Kapara, Velayla Mila, it's not subject to Mila. And the Miri explains, we have a concept, many times said, of enketega nasasanega, something that's used to affect good can't be used to affect the other way. The blood of a carbon, as we've discussed so many times, is what brings the kapara to a person who brings that carbon. So it's a kateger, it serves as a positive force, so it can never be used as a negative force. It can never serve a negative force through which one can have an aveira of me'ila. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan explains it somewhat differently. He explains that me'ila is applicable to something which kavuyachol belongs to Hashem. Something belongs to Hashem, and somebody goes and uses it for his own personal purpose, that is what Me'ila is all about. Says Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, the purpose of the dam is not for Hashem Kaviyachol, it's not for Reyach Nichayach. As we just explained, the purpose of the dam is to affect Sarchei Adam, people's needs, the need that we have to have a kapara. Since that's the purpose of the dam, so it's a tzarchei adam, and it's not subject to mila. Rav Yochanan Amakra, the pasuk says regarding the dam, who lifnei kapara klach kapara. The dam has the same status after, before the kapara, before the carbon was completely brought, as it has after the kapara. Malach kapara. Now after the carbon is brought, ain't by me'ila, it's no longer subject to me'ila. Tells us the pasuk, af lifnei kapara, so too, before the carbon is completed, still the blood will not be subject, ain't by me'ila will not be subject to me'ila. Veima, ask the Gemara, perhaps, yes, the Torah says who? That the blood should have the same consistent status. Perhaps what the Torah means by saying that is, lifnei kapara, lach kapara, klifnei kapara, that after the carbon is brought, it should have the same status as before it's brought. Ma lifnei kapara, and we'll say that before the carbon is completely finished its offering, yesh b'me'ilah, the blood will be subject to me'ilah. Aflacha kapara will say that even after the carbon is finished being offered, the blood will still be subject to me'ilah. Says the Gemara, that can't be, because ein lecha davar shenasas mitzvasai, there is no concept in halacha where the mitzvah has been completed, the requirement of the carbon has been completed, or me'alambay, and it should still be me'ilah. So therefore, says the Gemara, la'acha kapara, there can't be me'ilah, and the pasuk is teaching us who, similarly before the kapara, the blood is also not subject to me'ilah. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, v'loi, is that true that once the mitzvah is completed, there's no item still subject to me'ilah? Re'trumas adeshin. We know that the first avoda done every day in the Beis Hamikdash was trumas adeshin. A kohen would go to the mizbeach, scoop up a shovel full of ashes, and remove them and paste them on the floor of the azara to the east of the mizbeach, as the pasuk says, "Ve'heirim es hadeshem v'samay etzel hamizbeach." And the halacha is that even though the kohen completed his avodah, he already placed the ashes, the samay, they're still subject to me'ilah. So what are you saying, says the Gemara, that there's no concept in halacha that the mitzvah is completed, the avodah is completed, and there is no me'ilah? Here we see it is, answers the Gemara, yes, Trumas Hadeshin is indeed a situation where the avoid is complete and they're still subject to Mila. But there's another place where we find this concept. Bigde Kahuna. Bigde Kahuna, the kind God will wore on Yom Kippur, were not allowed to be worn or used by anyone afterwards. If they were, they were subject to Mila. So now we have two psukim that teach us the same concept. That Shnei Ksum Abayim Ke'achad, the two psukim that teach us the same concept. And we have a rule that Kol Shnei Ksum Abayim Ke'achad Ein Melamdim. That if two psukim teach us the same concept, then we can't apply that concept elsewhere. And the way the Mepharshim explain it is that if the Torah wanted that whatever principle is being taught by the pasuk should apply B'chol HaTorah Kula, it would be adequate that the Torah should say it once, and then we would extrapolate from that one place L'chol HaTorah Kula to the rest of the Torah. Why did the Torah have to say it a second time? Must be that the Torah is telling us where we want this principle to apply, we'll say it. And where we don't say it, we don't want the principle to apply. So says the Gemara, Dafka by Trumas Hadeshin and Big Day Kahuna, where the Torah said specifically that even though Nasis Mitzvosoi, there's still Me'ilah, those two cases, and only in those two cases, will there be Me'ilah even on Nasis Mitzvosoi. Nowhere else. Says the Gemara, Ha'nichle Rabbanan, this answer will work according to Rabbanan that hold Amri, V'nichem Shom Lamed Shetunim Gniza, that the Pasuk is teaching us that the big dekuna, that the kind godly war on Yom Kippur by Avoida, have to be buried, never used again, because they're subject to me'ilah. El Reb Doisa the Amr, Big Dekuhuna Royaheim Lekain Hedjit, that the Big Dekuhuna, the kind girl who wore in Yom Kippur, he may never wear them again in Yom Kippur, but the kind Hedjit may wear them, Mayakul Meimer. So we only have one situation where the Torah teaches us, Nasis Mitzvosoi, where the mitzvah is complete, and there's still me'ilah. And that should serve as a base for the whole Torah, that even though the mitzvah is complete, there's still me'ilah, and that I would say therefore the same by the dam of the carbon. Says the Gemara, Mishum Davat Trumas Hadeshin Ve'egla Ruf Shnei Ksuv Abayim Ke'echad. We have another place where the Torah tells us that the mitzvah is complete and there's still me'ilah. Egla Rufa. The Egla Rufa, we know that if a corpse is found and we don't know who murdered that person, so we measure which city is closest to that corpse, and the Ziknei Ir, the elders of the city that's closest, bring an Egla Rufa. They bring this Egla, this calf, and they decapitate its head, and they burn it. And even after they burn it, the ashes, nobody's allowed to have Hanor from. The Pasuk uses the words Shom. Shom Taig Nisosu. They have to leave the ashes. So we see that the mitzvah is complete and still subject to Mila. So we have Kol Shnei Ksuvim Bam Kechot and Melamdim. We're back to where we started. We have two psukim that teach us that the mitzvah is complete and it's still subject to Mila. Only in those two cases, nowhere else. Ask the Gemara, Ha Nichlu Mandama and Melamdim. This concept that we explained, the Shnei Ksuvim Bam Kechot and Melamdim, is actually a machloikis. There is a man the armor that holds Shnei Ksuvim Bam Kechot. If the Torah teaches us the same din twice, a Melamdim, we can't apply it anywhere else. El lemanda om melamda. There is a manda om that holds that snake, even if the Torah said the same thing twice, we could still apply it to other places. El lemanda om melamda maik lemema. And Rabbi Chanan explains, what is the basis of the machloikis if snake suma bom kech melamdim, a melamdim? He says, the manda om that says a melamdim, we explained. Why did the Torah have to say it twice? The manda om that holds melamdim explains Rabbi Chanan. Just like we find many times in Shas, Milsa the Asya b'Kavachoymer, Torah v'Kosov l'Kro, even though we know a din through a Kavachoymer, and as the Brisa of Rabbi Shmuel teaches us, a Kavachoymer is one of the Yud Gimel Midos, Shatari in the Dreshes Behen, so it's a very strong way of understanding a din. Sometimes the Torah goes out of its way to write it explicitly. Similarly, says this man, the Omer, even though the Torah said the same din once, the Torah repeats itself, but it can be applied to other areas in the Torah. So if so, yes, the Torah taught us by Egla Rufa and by Trumas Hadeshin that Nasis Mitzvosa and the still Mila, but why not apply it to other situations? As Taisus, the Gemara could have answered that this man, the Omer, that holds Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Ke'echad Melamdim, certainly agrees that the Torah says the same thing three times. That means that's only these places, nowhere else. So we'll say that this man will hold like the Chachamim, and he'll hold that the big day kahuna of the Kohen Gadol may not be worn again after Yom Kippur. They're subject to Mila. So we'll have three psukim: Egla Rufa, Trumas Hadeshen, and big day kahuna. And we'll just have to say that he holds like Reb Doisa, like the Chachamim. Says Taisvis, the Gemara could have given that teretz, but the Gemara gives a different teretz. Says the Gemara, Trei Mi'utik Suvi. The Torah says two times a Mi'ut. The Torah says twice these, an exclusionary verse to say only here the halachi apply that the Nasis Mitzvosai and there is no Mi'ila, nowhere else. What are the two cases? The two words, v'samai, the Torah uses the word samai by Trumas Hadeshin, and the Torah uses the word ha'arufa by the Egla Rufa to say only here is the halacha that even though nasis mitzvosai and there is no mi'ila, nowhere else in halacha. Says the Gemara, we learned three psukim by dam. And the Gemara asks, why do I need three psukim? V'hana t'losik kra b'dam lamali, why do we need three psukim to teach us the same din by dam? We had the word lechem, lechaper, and who? Answers the Gemara, chad lemuti minoisa. One comes to teach us that dam is not subject to the iser noiser, that if somebody left the carbon past the right time and it becomes noiser and he eats the blood of that carbon, he is over for dam but not for noiser. Chad lemuti b'mila, one to say that it's not subject to mila, as we've been discussing. For chad lemuti mituma, and one is to teach us that if a tummy person ate dam from a carbon, he will not be over for eating carbon, eating kachim when he's tummy. He will only be over for eating dam. Ask the Shagas Aryeh that we have a klal that ain't is a chalal iser. The one is a can't fall on another iser. So dam, we know, is also. We're not allowed to eat blood. So certainly it can't be any more subject to Noiser or Tomei. It's already Aser. So he gives two answers. One answer is that there's a man, the Omer Misach Dezvachim, that says that by Kachim, there is no principle of Ein Eschal Al Iser. Another answer that he gives is that there is a case where the dam is not Aser Medaraisa. Dam Shebishloi, blood that was cooked, is not Aser Medaraisa. And therefore, the dam if we were looking at it from the perspective of dam, would not be osur, but it will be. And so perhaps it should be osur because of tamei or noiser. That's what the pasuk says. The dam is not subject to the isur of tuma, the isur of noiser. Avim with pigul. Let's say the carbon became pigul. We don't need a persik to teach us that it's not subject to pigul. The tanan koshesh lematirim. Anything that has a permitter, bein la'odem bein la'mizbeach, either for people to be able to eat or for the mizbeach to be able to take it. That means any part of a carbon that becomes permitted for its use only through the service of another item, chayav lo mishum pigul, is subject to pigul. The dam atzmoi, however, the dam materhu. There's nothing that's done to another part of the mizbeach of the carbon that affects the dam. It's the dam, the zrikas adam, that affects the rest of the carbon, and therefore it's not anyway subject to pigul. But the Rishonim point out that even though our Gemara is saying that dam is not subject to pigul, that means that normally if somebody eats pigul, there's a chiv karis. If somebody will eat blood from a carbon that's pigul, there will not be a chiv karis. But certainly eating even the dam of a carbon that's pigul, the person will be over the lav that exists for eating pigul.